Family talk, and that it's time for family, it's time for talk, as we just walk through. This is an opportunity once a year that we take to kind of talk a little bit about and walk through a little bit about the heart of Rockcliffe and why we do what we do and some of the things that God is stirring in our hearts, some of the new things and vision that he's bringing us. And so from that side, I just encourage you to, as we open our hearts to him and as we just hear what the Lord is doing, first slide, Dave. And that is, again, it's our theme. This past year, God placed in our heart in January that he is wanting us to shine bright. And that Matthew chapter 5:16 says, let your light shine before men that they will see your good deeds and glorify the Lord. And so everything that we've been doing all year long has been pushing us and turning the ship of Rockcliffe towards this idea that God is wanting us to shine bright. Now, I will ask a question. You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. But how many find that when these lights are on, that sometimes it's a little bit too bright and irritating, right? So there's at least a half a dozen or more. And in all honesty, when you go to work, you will find, and that there will be a small percentage in your workplace that won't like the fact that you're coming in smiling. The fact that you're coming in and you seem to, even though things are going not so good in your life, you seem to be different. And they're not going to like that. And so sometimes you'll get, you know, pressures, whether it be at home, at school, or whatever. Why? Because you're shining too bright. You've heard the expressions before if you've grown up in church. I know I've had those expressions shared to me. You know, oh, take it easy now, Phil. You're getting a little radical. Oh, come on, Phil, just lighten up. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. God doesn't really want us to be like that. Hogwash. He wants us shining so bright that they don't see you anymore. And all they can do is see him. Let your light shine before man, that they will see your good deeds and glorify the Lord. There's a lot of people in this world that are doing a lot of good things, and they're getting a lot of pats on their back. But there's no glory going to God. So it's not about doing good things. It's doing what God asks you to do. And when we walk, and then he says, I'll turn everything around for good for those that are... Somebody help me finish that. Turn everything around for good. Say it louder. Those that love God and are called according to what? Oh, that's the key right there. Let your light shine before men so they will see your good deeds and they will glorify the Lord. God will turn everything around for good in your life as you love him and you allow that his light to shine and his purpose to shine out of your life. Oh, we're in a very selfish generation and time period right now in our culture. Everywhere you go, it's that pressure, me, 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 I. And this is there's no greater opportunity for you and I to shine bright for him. And you will irritate some. And some might not like it. And don't do it just to get under their skin. But know that it is having an impact for the kingdom of God and for what God has. So shine bright for him. Shine bright. And that the second challenge is really is the scriptural basis for everything we do. And that is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's why we do what we do. That's why we shift everything around. We just so want everyone to taste and see that our Father is good, that he is alive and he is well. That's why we pray for people at the front. That's why these two chairs are here, and that all through the service, anyone can come at any time, come and sit down, and people will come and join with them. They will join with them and they will pray with them. And we've taken a few people that have felt the call in their heart to join us. And they've gone through a training with me that we train them on what it means to pray, how to pray through, what it looks like. And so you'll see them with a little badge on in the morning and that same prayer ministry team. And so they're ones that are going to come and they're going to come around and join with the board and the leadership to pray for the individuals that are looking for prayer. Why? Because we want everyone to taste and see that the Lord is good. We don't want to hold it to ourselves, right? And that I've heard crazy things in churches before, and church before, church life, that, oh, well, we don't pray for anyone that's not saved. I don't pray for healing for that until they get saved, and then I'll pray for them. Oh, my goodness, are you kidding me? God wants his goodness to shine to everyone. His love is pursuing everyone, amen? We just need to get a part of his purpose and get away from religious purposes and our own purposes. And that taste and see that the Lord is good. Just before I jump to here, I do have a side note. I've missed 3 weeks in a row mentioning this, so I apologize, Marty. And that I'm gonna announce something out and ask something, and if not, I'm gonna ask everyone to pray that God will convict someone to bring it back. We had a still a wheat eater or a whack eater, whatever you want to call it. Still's a pretty good brand, and pretty nice one, in our shed that's locked with a padlock, someone unlocked the padlock, took the still weed whacker, and left us a cheaper Echo one. Like, they didn't just take it, but they took it and left us an Echo one. So if it was someone that's here and you just felt like you were blessing the church, we do like the still, okay? And so if you could help us with either just inconspicuously bringing it back one morning and at 6 a.m. or whatever when the doors open for daycare and just slide it in the front entrance, we will return the other one. And that the next morning at 6 a.m. we will leave it there. Now, I'm not saying anyone here took it, but in that part is obviously it was access, someone that had access to a key at one point or another. So we've changed our padlock. I also lost a $400 post-hole digger, gas-powered one, while I went on vacation. We were doing work around the church, and I came back, and the post-hole digger was gone, and my table saw was in the middle of the parking lot. I think it was just maybe too big to put in someone's vehicle, so they left it there, and so I still have that. But I just encourage you, Marty, I think that suffice, and that we speak it out and share it from there, and we move on. On our website, so this is just a snapshot of our website. It is not up and running yet, but we are moving in this direction. That on our website, when someone logs into our website, they will see the new logo for Rockcliffe Seniors Complex. That's the one with the blue dove. And then the Happy Hearts Daycare. Underneath that, it will say their name, the name Rockcliffe Seniors Complex, a ministry of Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church. And when you click on that logo, it'll bring you to a page that will give some information about our seniors complex. And that when you click on the daycare, it'll bring you to a page that will talk a little bit about our daycare. Now, in the daycare one, it might expand a little bit more than our complex one, just because the activity and the flow and everything that happens. But we are just taking another step forward, and just a reminder again, or to help everyone understand, yes, Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church owns a daycare, and it's run by Happy Hearts Owen Sound Inc. Corporation on our behalf, and we own a seniors complex that is run by Rockcliffe Seniors Complex Corporation on our behalf. And so we are so excited and proud about that, that we are making a big difference in our kingdom and as we move forward and we grow together. So I just wanted to bring mention to the fact that on our webpage, we are updating, we are changing things, and we are adding those links into there. At the present time, there is no link on the web for our seniors complex or our daycare. And so this is our way that we're going to set a platform out for it. again, our vision for Rockcliffe, our vision statement for Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church, and that is that we are a people committed to Jesus Christ. It should say a period at the end of that, but I'm not I would put a period there, but grammatically, I'm supposed to put a comma. But we are committed to Jesus, period. He is our boss. He's the owner of this whole thing. Not me, not the board, not the members. He is. He is the head. Amen? We're committed to consistent Christian growth. That's why you're going to get pokes from me. You'll get pokes from your neighbor beside you to spur you on in the faith. We want to be an active church. We don't want to be just a church that is sitting back and just enjoying a service, enjoying a time. But you will have at times in this near future, and also has happened in the past, during worship, all of a sudden one of the worship team might have a word from God for you, and they'll come up to you. Now, they'll be polite, and they'll ask, and if you say, no, I don't want to hear from God, they will walk away. But if you say, yeah, okay, what does God want to say? Then they'll share with you what God wants to do. Why? Because we believe that God wants us to grow consistently, not just for a blip or a moment, not just for a one time we got saved and now we coast, but from glory to glory, he wants to grow in us. To unity within the body, we do everything we can. And that to love on people, help people, but not at the expense of turning the boat in a different direction. I have to stress that. And that for years, and that at times, and that people could complain or people could not like something and the whole boat would shift. And it brought a lot of confusion in Rockcliffe for years where the boat would be like this. And then it would turn this way, and the vision got lost, and the direction got lost. If you're on a boat, and you're going from Spain to New York, if the boat gets off by a degree and a half in Spain, and they continue on that, that course, they might end up in Newfoundland. And so on that part is, as a leadership team, we pray all the time. We hear from God, and that for what is best for the body as we continue to move and help it grow, and that and unity within the body is of vital importance. To loving, living, and declaring Christ and his word through the power of Holy Spirit into our world. We don't really have much to offer this world other than Jesus, his word, and Holy Spirit. We don't really have much else. We can run food, we can run programs, we can run stuff, and they're all helps and encouragements and needed and that, but none of them will transform a life. And that other than Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and Jesus himself. And that's really where it comes down to, amen? Is God is wanting to transform lives. He wants to take that which is lost and find it, that which is broken and fix it. He wants, and that for us to be born again and come alive in him. Amen? So our mission statement, and that basically coming off of that, our goal with the Holy Spirit's help, because we know we can't do it on our own, is to restore that which is broken. That's why we'll take lots of time walking through things. We'll rearrange things. We'll help people, and that as God calls us to, and that to help restore, to help encourage. That's why with marriages, we are pro-marriage. Everyone hear me on that? We are pro-marriage. We are not pro-divorce. And that divorce is not God's best option. It's not what he's asked from us. It's not what he wants for us. He's wanting us to be men and women of God that are willing and that to put aside things and to work together and to ask Holy Spirit. Now, we do know there's hardening of heart. We do understand some scriptures that are saying there, but I just want you to know as a church and that we are pro-marriage, right? We're pro-marriage. Does life happen? Absolutely. Absolutely, life happens. And that do we always get what we want? Does it always work out in a good way? No, it doesn't. Okay? And that so if anyone's here and you've gone through a break and a tough run, and that don't let shame hold over you in Jesus' name. Amen? God loves you, and he has plans and purposes for your life. You're not right off. You're not lost. You're not way out in left field. But in saying that, I do want to say we are pro-marriage. I've had people come to me and say, hey, can you help me? And that we want to divorce. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I can help you restore the marriage if you're willing. I'll come alongside of you. But I'm not going to help you tear it apart. Now, someone comes to me and they're all broken and they've already fallen apart and there was nothing they could do in the middle of it. I will help them be picked up, carried through, restored, because that's a part of our mission. Amen? And that God has called us to the ministry of reconciliation. But I'm just stressing on the part, marriage, we are pro-marriage. Amen? I don't know why I got distracted on there, but it must be important. To deliberately and purposely help individuals relate to God and with his body, and to release hope-filled people into their God-given purpose, here in Owen Sound and around the world. God has got something for every one of us to be a part of. There's people that he wants you to reach, there's things he wants you to do, and he wants us to be about his business. Amen? Your life matters. If it didn't matter, then we might as well plan your service, and it will be your funeral, and that will be the end. The fact that you're breathing, the fact that I'm breathing, is because God's not finished in your life and through your life yet. So you need to find that purpose and that place that he's called you to. Now, we're going to deliberately help you with that and encourage you in that over the years ahead. You'll notice on the back wall, we've been painted and it's been there for quite some time. I had some people come to me and say, Pastor, I can't believe you painted on the wall. Why didn't you just put pictures on there, you know, like on canvas or something that could be taken off? And so I want to share with you my response to those individuals that did share that with me. I said, you know what? We have too many temporary things in our walk right now. If I don't feel good, I don't do it. And we've made the Word of God a lot like that. But here at Rockcliffe, unless God tells us something different or calls me somewhere else, these are our core values that we will continue to impress, encourage, spur every believer in Christ on. That we believe that every found believer should be out finding other people. Should be going out and sharing. If you're not sharing Jesus Christ with those around you, something's wrong. The Word of God tells us that's why, part of why we're saved, is to be about our Father's business, to compel those that are not in the faith to come into faith. We also believe with a strong passion and conviction inside that growing people change. And that you might know I had a little more hair than that last week. Then my lovely daughter and that my older one and that she cut my hair. Well, she wouldn't say she cut it because she said she only did part of it because I didn't let her do the other part. So I did it so that I could pull my hair back and put it in a little ponytail. And I was going to wear that for a couple days just to goof around and have fun. And then my wife told me, I'm not hugging you again until you get a haircut. So then she invited a hairdresser to the house and cut my hair. And so I stand before you changed. And I'm growing to like it. And that even though I did like the other haircut, just because it was goofy and crazy and something different. But I'm joking. But growing people change. Don't get stuck, but grow. Save people, serve. It's just the way it goes. It's just scriptural. And if you need more scripture to help you with that, in the lobby, there's a book on who we are, what we believe. And that, and in there, it has a list of these with all the scripture and the heartbeat behind it in an expanded way. You can't outgive God. We believe that with everything inside of us. If God asked me to go 3 nights out a week, plus Sunday, plus something else, and he's asking me to do that, and now let me hear me on that. I'm stressing he's asking me to do that. Then I know God is going to take care of my wife and my family. But if it's just because I feel pressured, because, oh, it's another opportunity. Oh, I need some little nudge inside of me to make me feel good. Then no, it doesn't work that way. And my family will be impacted and my family will feel it. But sometimes we allow fear to hit so much as believers, especially those been saved for a little while, that we end up taking a step back and we're like, oh, well, I can't outrageously give. I can't of my time, my energy, my talents or whatever, because, you know, I got to protect something. Listen to me. If you try to protect everything and that or your life, your family and everything, you are going to end up smothering them and missing out yourself. Let God protect them. Let God lead you. And where he lead, we will follow. Amen? Make it simple. We've complexed everything in our Christian walk way too much. Make it simple and let God lead. Lastly, you can't do life alone. You need God's help. You need his direction. You need the body of Christ. Fusion. Heartbeat behind it. Fusion, and that we are trying to establish and set things here in motion that the pastor is not doing everything. Amen? And that if we go back to the old school way, we had a family night and the pastor would always be the one leading and the pastor would always be one directing. Other programs would be run by other pastoral leadership or a board or different stuff. And here, what we're trying to do is, again, coming in line with our core values, coming in line with our vision, and that we are trying to create an opportunity for people to use their gifts and talents. We know not everyone in here is a singer. Not everyone here is a musician. Not everyone in here is got that passion or ability or drive to be able to teach a Bible study. But everyone in this room has some gift, some talent, some ability that they can share. And that's why we've created what we call family fusion nights, where we fuse everything together and give people opportunity to come alongside of a gift, a talent, an ability that you might have that you can share with others. Amen? So that's the heartbeat behind it. So I really encourage you as we come to our next fusion and that coming up and that, and we start putting out, hey, those that are interested, and that doesn't mean you say, hey, I'd like to do this. We might not be able to fit it in there, but at least then we have that on our back burner to say, hey, maybe we can do this and that at some point. And so from that side is, I really encourage you to catch the heart behind it and that it is our opportunity to spur our church to get involved, to use their talents and abilities, and then to create an open door and that for our community, for our friends and everyone else to love on them and allow them to come in to be a part of it. Amen? So that's the heartbeat behind fusion and why. Life groups, it's a new phrase, but same thing as small groups. We are getting ready to launch a bunch of our life groups, and the life group has no really end in sight. The opportunities will ring. Fusion is giving us a great opportunity to draw giftings out of people that feel they have gifts in different areas to be able to provide some life skills or the Word of God and bringing it alive into people's lives. And so on that part is as we develop life groups, small groups in that here in our community, in our body, we want to spur each other on. Amen. And not everyone has got everything. Not everyone knows everything, but together, we have a better picture. One of the life groups that will be running is, you can click one more time, is Cazone. And that Cazone, again, I've shared, and we'll talk more about that in the week to come, is really a Hebrew-Greek word that means, coming from that scripture, people perish for lack of vision. That's the Cazone. So on November the 7th and 14th, which is a Thursday night at 6:30, anyone that is interested, you'll hear more next Sunday. November 3rd, sorry. You'll hear more on November 3rd about it as I explain and walk through it and break it down in a better way. But if you would like to find your purpose, and that is where all of your life and all the things around you that are happening intersect because God created you in that to shine brighter in this area, then I really encourage you to come and be a part of it. We will help you walk through your past experiences, walk through your giftings, walk through the different areas that God has brought into your life to help draw out of you, and that if not your life purpose, your season purpose. And that for what has God got for you right now that he wants you to focus on, that everything else is going to come in light of this. It's all going to come with that flavor and that out of your life. And then on Saturday the 23rd will be our final, November 23rd will be our final. So we'll meet three times with our Cozon Life Group. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, then please just keep your ears open, write the dates down so that you can make sure you're a part. Next, Sozo. Sozo, set free, freedom in Christ, all different names, all the same purpose, and that God is wanting each and every one of us not only saved, but really sozo means more than just saved, right? Like the word shalom. How many know the word shalom? It means peace. But it's a whole lot more than peace be with you. That has a deeper, much deeper meaning behind it, and that entails so much area. So I'm not going to go into that. You can go in and you can start to do a little Bible study if you're looking for something. Great word, just that word shalom, and unpack it and see that it has a whole lot more weight and everything than us just saying peace. Same with sozo. It's that Greek word, and that God wants us not only saved, he wants us healed up, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And he wants us set free or delivered. And that there's a freedom that Jesus paid for, but yet most of us are not walking in the freedom that God has called us to walk into, because we're hanging on to yesterday, we're hanging on to unforgiveness, and that we're not loving over offenses and we're grabbing a hold of them, and we're missing out on the goodness of God. And so, sozo, that Greek word translated saved, healed, and delivered, is a unique inner healing ministry with the goal of uncovering the root cause of your hurts and wounds that become stumbling blocks, keeping us from living in freedom. These stumbling blocks affect our relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When this relationship is restored, freedom comes and the path is cleared to walk into your destiny. So, November 24th, December 1st, and December 8th, and that I'm going to be teaching on, sharing some of the scriptures, sharing some of the tools that God has given us on Sunday mornings to help us understand a little bit better and to open our hearts to the fact that God does want you free, and whom the Son sets free is free. So you never have to be bound up ever again. You never have to sin. Wow, we went really quiet on that. A Christian in Christ does not have to sin. You can sin. You can fall short. We can, and do we? Absolutely. But we don't have to. The closer we walk with him, the more we allow Holy Spirit to lead, the more we give up every area of our life and let him control, it'd be the less that we sin and the less that we fall short. It's our choice. God is for you. He's not against you. Amen? Membership matters. Membership matters because as a membership and as members, we make up the body of Christ, right? And not only that, but we make a bigger difference evangelizing, reaching the lost, reaching our community. We make a better difference worshiping together. When we start lifting our voices, when we begin to lift our hearts, and it's not just in voices as in worship and song, that's only one piece of the puzzle. And that Jeff alluded to that, you know, hey, when we get to heaven, we're going to be worshiping him. And that, you know what worship is more than just singing. When you love your wife, you're worshiping God. When you honor your boss, you're worshiping God. When you decide, I'm not going to listen to gossip, I'm going to shut it down, you're worshiping God. Amen? When you pray for the government leaders, whether you like them or not, you're worshiping God. So when every time we line up to the Word of God and we take a step with the Word of God, we actually are worshiping Him. But you might say, well, I'm not playing an instrument and singing. No, that's one element. That's an expression of worship. But our whole life is meant to be worship. Everything that we do, everything that we have, every breath we make is for His glory and unto Him. And as we walk in that way, it brings honor and glory back to the Lord, and it brings worship unto Him. Giving. And that when we give together and we pool in together for resources to accomplish the kingdom of God, it makes a bigger difference. Serving makes a bigger difference. And that, why? Because we're better together. And that discipleship is much easier. And that when all of a sudden Jeff is witnessing to someone and Jeff is reaching to them and all of a sudden he's reaching to there, and then God's bringing another one for him to reach, and then another one, and he's got like three, and he's like, oh my Lord, I don't know how much time I can, how do I have the time for everything? And then all of a sudden Colin turns around and says, you know, hey Jeff, I can help you. I can grab a hold of this one and I can start to show him scripture. I can start to walk him through and come alongside. But if it's left to ourselves, we can get overwhelmed pretty quick, can we not? That's why we're better together. And that in the next week, as a leadership team, we are going to be walking through, and we're going through, it's that time of year, we're going through our membership list and sending encouraging letters out for our members, so you'll receive something over this next week as a member of Rockcliffe. And if you're not a member of Rockcliffe, then I just think, say, why not? Why not? I know I get in trouble when I say statements out loud, but I'm going to say it again. If you're here for more than 6 months and you're not taking membership out, then I encourage you, there's really only three real reasons why. One, because you do not understand membership and you just need someone to help you understand it. Because how many know membership can be pretty confusing? Depending if you go to the YMCA, you go to Good Life, and then you come to church, is it all the same? No, it's not. What does it mean? So if you're confused or you don't understand and you would like to know, make a call to me. I'll gladly sit with you, show you scripture, and walk through to encourage you. Or on your way out, you can grab one of those booklets of who we are and what we believe, and it explains a bunch of it in the front of there. Number two, and that is, you've been hurt or offended or wounded at one point in your life in church. Can I just pause by saying, how many people here today have been hurt at least once in church? Put your hand up. Okay. It happens. Why? Because there's people here. There's humans here. And we're not perfect. None of us are. And we all make mistakes. We all have bad days and take it out on someone else. We allow the enemy at different times to use our hand or our mouth or whatever it might be. But that's why God says to love. That's why He says to forgive. And so on that part is, I really encourage you to grab a hold of that. Or number three, you've been just fighting the Lord for a long time and this is not where He wants you to park, and He's wanting you to park somewhere else and be planted in a different church so that you can grow and be what God wants. And so, therefore, we encourage you to be where God wants you to be. Amen? You matter more to us than having another seat with someone's rear end sitting on it. Because we don't have any seats empty here at Rockcliffe. We don't. Every seat you might think is empty has an angel sitting on it. And so I don't want to give up an angel's seat if I don't have to. So I encourage you, membership matters. Next slide. Everyday faith. You see, we started painting on our back wall here, and that part of our challenge, our encouragement, and our flow is that we do believe, and against that spurring on, that every day God is asking us, and that to read, to pray, to give, and to share. In other words, to partner with Holy Spirit and to be about our Father's business. So we encourage you to grab a hold of that lifestyle. And that Romans chapter 8, 28 says, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes. We just believe that God is working everything around. Trust him. Be patient. He's patient with you. Be patient with him. He knows what he's doing, and grab a hold of that. Amen? Out in the lobby, there is a bunch of pamphlets. A bunch of pamphlets been put together, and this is the latest of our pamphlet, and that to try to help answer questions that come quite often. And this one is a little bit more specific of a question. That's why I didn't put it in every bulletin. But in that part is it is out in the lobby. And if for some reason it didn't get folded and out there, then we'll get it out there for next week. But on that part is about child dedication and what it means, why we do it, what's the difference between that and water baptism or sprinkling, and so forth and so forth. So it helps explain and understand that. On the back, it just says, one must never underestimate the incredible influence a parent has on the faith of their children. Infant dedication expresses the intention and faith of a parent to do everything they can to lead their child to salvation. It is a public pledge to circle the child with a positive environment that will nurture the child's faith in God. A child baby dedication commitment ceremony is viewed as a confirmation between the parent and the church to raise the child in a godly way until the child is old enough to make their own decision in accepting Christ as their personal Savior. Family matters. Parents, you make a bigger difference than you ever thought. Don't let the world tell you that when your child hits 12, 13, you don't matter anymore. You are still the single most greatest voice in your child's life. They might have many other voices around them, but they need your voice. And so don't go silent and don't let the enemy try to rob that from you. Amen? Again, not going to spend much on it, but Right Now Media, great ministry, great digital library. If you have a computer, you have internet, then I encourage you, if you don't have Right Now Media, to give a call into the front office to Kim, and she will send you a link to your email where you click on it, you sign up, and then you'll have free access to over 10,000 different Bible studies, teaching tools, helps, kids' videos, other things to do with just about everything. This is where we're launching our Fusion Bible study on the study of Mark. Is actually right on here. It's the very first small little square on our left here, and that Francis Chan, the Gospel of Mark, and we're launching using that platform so that those that are missing one of the weeks, they can always go on and catch it in online, and so that they're not missing everything. And so I really encourage you, if you don't have it, to grab a hold of it. Amen? Newcomer's Lunch. Just a reminder that it's after the service today. We have a Newcomer's Lunch, opportunity to meet the pastor and the leadership team and have a conversation. And so I just really encourage you to grab that. Next slide. We have a new Interact machine. You will see out there, there's still the old one there. And that because we're trying to gently move things in. So in the next 2 weeks, the old one will be there, but the new one actually is much easier to use. How many people have, I know not everyone does, but how many people have the option on your debit card, credit card, whatever, to tap? How many people like the tap? Right? It's pretty nice, eh? You know, well, on that part is this machine. We'll take it. So can you click once for me? When you come up to the machine, it's black screen where it is looking like there on the left. On your finger, it's like your iPhone or your digital, your Android phone that is touchscreen sensitive. If you touch anywhere on the black screen, your very first one is going to come up with this, please enter a password. But underneath there, it says a little square, it says quick access. That's what you click. You click the quick access button. Then next slide. And when it comes up with this next one. On the bottom left, it says sale. That's where you will click. So if you click that, then it comes up to the next slide. And it comes up with saying enter the amount. So then you type in the amount. Next slide. You know, if you want to do 10,000, I just want to say that that could be done. I just don't know if the machine will take that much at one time. But I reset it down to the next slide to $10. And then it comes up with this blue screen, And either you swipe your card, if there's no chip on it, you slide your chip in the bottom and it's all right on the front of the machine, or you just tap it. Okay? After that happens, then you can print your receipt. It says print receipt. You can email your receipt to yourself by pressing a button and just add your email, or you can text your receipt to yourself, whatever is more convenient for you. Okay? Kim is going to be in the lobby for the next 2 weeks. She was there this morning, and she will, again, help guide and lead anyone that needs to learn the new machine and figure it out. But it is not a super difficult task, as the machine is not only easier to use, it's cheaper. It's a lot cheaper, actually. On the cost per transaction, it's cheaper. The rental was cheaper. We ended up purchasing the machine outright so that we don't have a monthly fee. And so long term, it's just going to save us even more in those areas. As administratively, we're trying to do that more and more. Let me come to here, family connections. And this is where I just take a few moments here just as we close and that our service. And that what I need you to do is I need you to take a few moments, and that after service, this will be in the lobby, and I need you to take a few moments with me as the leadership team and I are working on something on how we can serve you better. How can we help you serve each other better? We believe that we are born on purpose. We are put in a family on purpose. We are moved into the place we live on purpose. We are in the church on purpose. Everything is on purpose when we're going according to His purposes. Amen? So in that part is what we've done is we've taken the... Sorry, sticker's coming off. We've taken our community and we've broken it down in what we're calling zones. Family connection zones. So if we're outside of the city core, the center of Owen Sound area, and you're above the black line, you're in zone 5, and your zone 5 leader is Jackie and Tony from our board. So it's a great way to get to know our board and connect. If you're below the black line, now we did draw a little round circle around Allenford, and that to be in the upper one, but if you're below that zone, you're going to be with Dudley and Bob Cherka, our board members, and they're going to lead, and they're going to be there. I'll give you a heartbeat in just a second here. If we're in the inside core and that of our zone, if you live off to the right here of zone four, you're going to be with Wes and Ashley, and that one of our board members, and you're going to be with them, and they're going to love on you. They're going to help you connect with each other and connect with the church and connect with God. And that if you're in the middle corridor in the top part, you're going to be with Kim and Barry, Pretty and Pink, and they're going to take care of you and love on you. If you're in the bottom section, and that you're going to be with me, stuck with me again. So sorry, guys. And that, but you're going to be with Christina and I. And that if you're in the upper corner, and that you're going to be in the orange, which is Casey and Nathan. And that, so as board and as leadership, we are taking seriously this whole idea that God has called us and put us into a place, and that to love on, to encourage, to spur, to correct, to edify, to release the body into the works of the Lord. In your bulletin, if you open it up and pull that sheet out for me for a moment, you'll see a little piece of paper in there on Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church Family Connection Groups. It's all about asking the right questions, right? I mean, really, I mean, we can ask the wrong one and just get out of the picture. It's looking for treasuring each other. It's drawing up the good in everyone. But the heartbeat really behind it, if I simply say this, is three words. If you can catch these words, you get the heart behind family connections. And that is this: prayer, care, and share. Can you say it with me together? Prayer, care, and share. So, as that family connection group, they're going to meet. It could be in your leader's home. It could be in one of your homes. It could be at Tim Hortons. It could be here in the church. And that it'd be maybe the leader and you guys will figure out where they're going to meet. But the idea of it is we're looking to pray for each other. Putting a face to a name. praying for one another, loving on, understanding where things are. So if Ron was in your group and you understood Ron's going in for surgery this week on his heart and getting some bypass surgery, and that you're going to turn, hey, I'm going to be praying for Ron. And it's much easier for us to understand a little bit better. That doesn't mean we don't love on someone that's not in our group. Don't get me wrong. It's just we don't want anyone falling through the cracks. If you're waiting for me to recognize that you're here on a Sunday, I'm going to tell you now, it's not my gift and it's not my place that I'll remember. My boss was here. I didn't see him until the last 2 minutes of the service when I was closing in prayer. A couple weeks ago, David Hazard. He's back at work now. God's healed him. He's restored him. We know we've been praying for him. It's been amazing. But it's not how I'm wired. I'm trying to hear from God. I'm trying to lead the church. So if you're expecting, you know, why didn't the pastor notice I wasn't here for 3 weeks and you get mad at me? I'm oblivious to even know you're mad at me. This way here, we're setting things up in a better way that no one gets missed because you're going to help us love on everyone from your connection. So in that part is, again, prayer, care. And that when someone all of a sudden is going into hospital or someone's having a baby or someone's going through a tough time, all of a sudden it's not on Kim to do all the work to try and figure out how do I get people to help and how do I get this for meals or this. Or that. No, your family connection leader is going to say, hey, guys, and that we've got so-and-so that's gone in hospital. They're coming out. It would be really nice if we could get 3 meals for them. Can we help? Now, if that leader is not going to be stuck on their own, if they can't get the help in their group at that time, they're going to call the next group to them and say, hey, and that Tony, do you think your group could maybe help us out a little bit? We've got this. We've had 4 needs in a row. It's been really a lot of needs lately. Could your group come in and help us with this? Tony's going to say, sure. And then he'll go after his group to help out. But again, it's coming back to the place of putting the work and the help back into our everyone's hands instead of on Kim's hand, instead of on my hands or on the board's hands. No, we're in this together, amen? We're better together. So this is going to help serve in that part. And the last thing is sharing. Sharing our lives together, sharing meals together. And that going out of our way and that to maybe say, hey, why don't you come sit with me? And I noticed you sit by yourself in service. Why don't you sit with me? And that and connecting together. It's so important as we get together as a family and that especially for those that are new. Those that are new and feel that God has called them to be a part of the church. And that it can take, if you're new in the last year and a half, and I've watched, and I've not just here, but in many churches I've been, it's almost a year before new people feel confident enough to assimilate and they start to build a bit of relationships, more than just one or two people, and they start to feel a part of the life of the church. We want to try to help make that a little easier. Amen? We want to make that help become a little bit easier. And this is the way that we're going to end up doing that, is by making the connection. You can read in your bulletin the little bit of a write-up. More will be said about this over this next bit, but our prayer and desire is that after the service, if you can just look at the zone and make sure there's a dot where you live and make sure your name is on the list. If there's no dot there and we just missed the dot by some chance, we'll just let us know. There's a piece of paper you can write down and say, hey, my dot's missing. We'll get it there. If your name's not on the list, it's because you're not allowing yourself to be a part of the real family of the body of Christ and be a part of our directory. Now, listen to me. We don't give the directory to anyone unless their name is in the directory. If their name's in the directory, they can be a part of the directory and a part of the family in that aspect of family, to be able to talk and share. But if we don't have your email address, we don't have your phone number, we don't have that, when we make changes or something happens, you're just missing out on too much of the family. And so if your name is not on here, it's only because your name's not in the directory. So there's a form out there you can fill to make sure your name gets in the directory so you can be a part of one of the groups. Okay, does that make sense? making it as easy as I can here to try and understand and help us walk through this together. As we come to the right to the end here, prayer. Just want to make mention on that again, and that on prayer, and that joining us on our Sunday nights as we pray. Our first and our third Sunday, and that is of personal prayer. Now, that might make a shift. We might take one of those and use that for our family connections in the new year. We haven't quite made that decision yet on how we're going to manage that idea. But on that part is it's really important we pray together. And that, in all honesty, I'm here 3 years, and we've seen a little spikes and then drops. And little spikes, and then we kind of plateaued into a place. And I know some say, but it's night. I don't like to come out at night. And that, but in all honesty, I've seen some of you out. I've seen you out in the community at night. So don't tell me you don't like coming out at night. Okay, I've seen it. Okay, and so in that part is, it's not about that. It's a spiritual issue. Right, on our second Sunday night of the month is our prayer summit, where we pray for corporate needs. It's time that we have a bit of worship, and we stop and we pray over some corporate needs that are brought forward. Our fourth Sunday night of the month is our Ascend the Hill. That's our worship night. That's where we come, and there's worship going on all night long. But then there's prophetic words, there's praying for people, all happening at one time. And that it's like a great cloud of witnesses around joining and singing all around us as God is ministering into the body. So I really encourage you to come and be a part of it. And then the last one, if you flip the slide, I just want to explain a little bit more on this idea of fire starters. No, we're not pyromaniacs going around town looking to light up buildings and burn things that we don't like or whatever. No, that's not it at all. But it is a prayer walk / drive. And that, and it happens on when there's a fifth Sunday of the month that's not a holiday. Okay, fifth Sunday of the month. So we've had a couple of them already. We meet here for about 15, 20 minutes at max. We pray, we hear from God. God, what do you want to say? Who do you want us to go to? Where do you want us to go? And that, why? Because we believe that his sheep know his voice. Again, God speaks. Everyone, we write down what everyone says. And some of it doesn't make any sense at all. But then we turn around and we say, okay, let's go. And so we go out. The last time we ended up stopping at Popeyes, and that my son tells me he doesn't like the food, and that I haven't tried it myself, but God impressed on the heart to stop in and talk to the manager and ask if we could pray for them. And that God wants to bless them. And so we stopped in randomly, thanked the Lord. There wasn't busy at that time. The manager was standing right there along with one of the workers. I explained who we were and why we were there and asked, could we pray? And without a hesitation, please do. And so we prayed for them right there. Some people in the restaurant, we prayed over them, prayed for them. And as we're taking a step away saying, thank you so much. We know you're busy. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity. And that their expression, hey, we're going to let our bosses know that this is what you do, because I think they're going to want to hear about this, right? God is wanting to make an impact into our community, but all he's looking for is a few good men and women willing. And so this is what this is all about. And you might say it's scary. We are better together. That means if you don't hear anything that night, doesn't matter. Someone else will hear something, amen? And we'll just partner with them. We don't always have to be out front, amen? And that we can come alongside as Aaron and her and come in agreeance. No one is forced to pray out loud. No one is forced to go, okay, you've got to this. Now, if you hang around me too long and people are tell you, Pastor Phil's going to draw it out of you. He's going to come around. Why? Because I'm going to spur you on. I want you to grow just as much as I want to grow. And so in that part, as we grow together and move together, I wanted to explain just a little bit about what that was all about. And lastly, as we close this morning, and that I just want to echo to you, I love my church. I love Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church with everything inside of me. That's why I get up early and I think about my church. When I go to bed, I'm thinking about here and that and just what God has and what he's doing and the passion that he's stirring in the heart and that not only and that for the lost out there. I love reaching the lost, but I love my body. I love the church. That God has brought us ragtag people together. Some here for a long time, some here new, and that in the last little while, but he's brought us together and he's knitting us together, all different walks of life, all different colors and shapes and sizes, all different likes and dislikes, and he's brought us together because he says, this is what I need for the flavor of Rockcliffe in order to make the difference for today. I love my church. And that meaning, really, what do I love? I don't love this building. This building still needs a lot of work. Right? It's not about, Marty's like, yes, it does. And that it's not because, oh, I like programs or this or that. No, it's you are the church. No, my wife and I, we pray for you all the time. And that we love you guys. And I encourage you again, like I encouraged in my very first week here. If you would like my wife or I to come and visit you, all you need to do is make a call. And we will do the best that we can to get out to you and to connect with you. And that why? Because we love you and we care for you. Do we always make it out to everywhere? No. Do we always make it to every emergency? Nope. And that, nope, stuff happens. Life happens. And so as we rub shoulders, as we communicate and we walk together, all of these things where all of a sudden we preconceive, oh, well, so-and-so, you know, well, Nathan just put his hand up like this, and he's rubbing his head. Oh, my goodness, he's getting a headache from me right now. Oh, my, what am I going to do? I'm going to have a conversation. No, don't assume anything. Go and have a conversation. The enemy is playing with a lot of us, and we're assuming a lot of different things about our coworkers, our family, our spouses, the people in church, and it's just the enemy wreaking havoc. He wants us to work together. He wants us to come together. He wants us, God is wanting us, and that to love one another. So much so that the world will see and say, wow, something's different. That's what I want. Jesus, I thank you right now for all that you're doing here at Rockcliffe. God, I thank you for your love and your life that you're breathing into our lives and in this body called Rockcliffe. God, we just ask, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, to connect better together. Help us, Lord, as we serve and love on one another, not in a selfish way, but in a way that we can build one another up so that we can make a bigger difference for your kingdom. God, we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for what you have store. Thank you for the giants of the faith that are here. God, Lord, the giants of the faith that don't even realize that they are. But God, over these next months ahead, Lord, we're going to help draw that out of them, Lord, that they're going to be able to rise up and they're going to be able to see that mountains will move in front of them. And that by faith, God, that they're going to be able to see that they can speak and that and the enemy will quiver. And that because there's an authority that you have placed over our lives and in our lives, there's an power that flows out of us by the power of Holy Spirit. And God, Lord, I just thank you for that you've given us. So Lord, awaken and help us to be your bride and all that you've called us to be. We love you and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.